Amen. All right. Well, thank you very much. You guys having a good time this weekend?
Yeah.
All right. All right. As he said, my name is Drew Guillot. I'm on staff at the Plano campus in the marriage and community team. And so you guys are probably wondering, why am I doing this? Who the heck am I? Well, just to let you guys know, like, I love movies. I love TV. And I'm what you would call a cinephile, okay? I've seen most movies that have ever been made. And my babysitter when I was a kid was a television set. So I was born in 1975, and when my mom needed something to do, she would just plop me down in front of the TV, and I would watch it. And she would also take me to movies all the time. So she loved going to movies, and she would take me with her. And man, I just loved it. I loved storytelling. I loved just getting into escape into the story and not think about what's going on in reality. So probably my favorite series of movies is Star Wars. Anybody else Star Wars fans? Okay. So I might be the biggest Star Wars dork at Watermark. Okay. I've seen a Star Wars movie an estimated 360 times. Okay. That's 9 movies since 1977. You may think that that's ridiculous, but I don't care. Don't judge. But man, these movies influenced me like crazy. And I hope that this talk is going to be interactive here, and I'm going to go really fast because we're pretty short on time. But I went to film school, studied film production, but I really studied critical film. And I loved critical film. I loved getting into the story and really understanding how they're telling these stories. But what came out of that is realizing the techniques that writers and directors were using to actually put things into the viewer's mind, okay, in a way that I didn't even know. And so here I am in film school. I'm, 20 years old, and I'm realizing for the first time in my life, my gosh, I've been duped. I didn't realize how much TV and media was affecting me all those years. But so with this preview, what I want to teach you guys, just to give you a preview, I want to teach you guys how to spot these lies in media, okay? Because I'm going to tell you, I'm going to take you on a history through television. And I'm only going to focus on television right now because it's lack of time. But we're going to talk about a lot of TV shows. Most of these TV shows you guys have probably never seen, but we are going to talk about some that you guys have seen. But we're going to talk about how in the early days of television, culture really defined media. And what I mean by that is that what was going on in the country, what was important in the country, was actually portrayed on your television set. And then as time goes by, I'm going to show you how no longer is culture defining media, but media is defining culture. And I want you guys to be able to see the truth. I want you guys to be able to spot the lie. And so I want to give you guys some scripture here, and if you got notes, take them. If you got your phone, you can pull them up. But I'm going to give you 3 scriptures that really I want you to think about, that we're going to the lens that I want you to look through. So the first one is 2 Timothy 2:21-22. It says, "Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work." So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. The second one is 3:17, which I'm sure you guys have heard a lot. It's just whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And then lastly is 12:2, just says, do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but instead be renewed. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so then you'll be able to test God's will, his perfect and pleasing will. So that's the scripture that that I want you guys to think about here. And so what I want to do is I want to start by showing you guys a clip of a show that probably a lot of you guys are watching. And I want you guys to be interactive. I want you guys to it's okay to say that you watch certain shows, because there's plenty of shows that I've watched that would compromise my witness, okay? So how many of you guys like the show Riverdale? Okay, the other 90% of you guys are lying, all right? So we're going to watch a clip from Riverdale, and I want you guys to look at this, and I want you to spot lies, okay? I want you to look at these 2 scenes and go, okay, what is this show trying to tell me and lie to me? So watch this.
Construction right now.
Yo, be honest with me. You work on any houses? Any private homes?
Yeah, a couple.
Did you, this summer?
You know what? You guys were a fantasy from your wank bank, right, Tate? I'll catch you guys soon.
See ya, brother.
Totally did it, bro.
You totally did it.
So, I usually start off my tours with a little history and context. Riverdale High first opened its doors in 1941,
and hasn't been redecorated since, apparently. Honestly, I feel like I'm wandering through the lost epilogue of our town. So what's the social scene like here? Any nightclubs?
A strip club called the Ho Zone and a tragic gay bar called Innuendo. Friday night's football games and then tailgate parties at the Malmark parking lot. Saturday night is movie night, regardless of what's playing at the Bijou, and you better get there early because we don't have reserved seating in Riverdale. And Sunday nights, thank God for HBO.
Veronica Lodge, Kevin Keller. Veronica's new here. Kevin is gay. Thank God. Let's be best friends.
Is it true what they say about your dad?
Okay, you can go ahead and stop that clip.
That he's the devil incarnate.
Okay, so when you guys are watching this clip, what do you guys think you're being told? This is where y'all can raise your hand and answer questions. Nobody? Okay. So with this clip, you got a couple of things happening. So I actually edited some audio from what the guys were talking about because it was just inappropriate. But what these guys are talking about is asking this the main character, Archie, hey, who did you have sex with over the summer? And then secondly, we move into the girls talking, and she is talking to the guy and saying, hey, you're gay. We're going to be best friends. And so really what that is telling me from a deeper standpoint, not just making teenage sex normal or homosexuality normal, it's actually telling me, hey, guys can be perverted and dangerous, but yet the homosexual character is very safe and women feel safe with that character. And so that may be true in many ways, but to look at it from that deeper level is what I'm trying to get, what I want you guys to see. So the show Riverdale is based on the Archie comics from the 30s and 40s. So we got a picture of what Archie Comics used to be. And this was a show, this was a comic book that was very innocent. Probably the most dangerous thing that Archie ever did was take a pogo stick over a fence. But Riverdale, what they've done is they've turned this on its head, and it's about sex, it's about violence, it's about deception, which is completely contrary to what that comic was from originally. So we're going to look at a couple of things. So I'm going to show you guys some shows. I'm going to show you guys some clips. But I want to talk a little bit about when TV first came out, what was kind of going on in culture. America had high moral values, okay? The family unit was very, very important. But also there were things going on that were affecting people. So you look in 1929. Everybody know what the Great Depression is? Yeah, so the Great Depression was something where people were, they had no money. They were standing in line for food. But the number one industry in America at that time was the entertainment industry. People loved to escape from reality where they didn't have money for food, but they would spend money to go entertain themselves and escape. Some other things as you go later on, you had World War II. Prior to that, you had Prohibition, which was making alcohol sales and consumption illegal. And then you had the rise of the civil rights movement, where you've got people of different colors, specifically African Americans, that were being repressed, and so there was a movement for the civil rights. And so these shows were taking what America found to be important and portraying it on TV. And so we had a few shows, and so all these shows that I'm going to be talking about today, I just want you to know, there were many, many other shows, but I'm going to pick the most popular shows and the most influential shows of those time just to show my illustration of how TV went from something that was highly moral to something that is highly immoral. All right, so first, 1954, we had a show called Father Knows Best, which we'll show a clip of in a little bit, but the father was the patriarch, okay? This was a nuclear family unit, and they all went to the dad for solutions. Leave It to Beaver, which was a show about Beaver Cleaver and his adventures, but then again, the nuclear family unit, the father was always the patriarch that had the solutions. Then you have I Love Lucy, which was the first sitcom, and this was an extremely, extremely popular show, but it also was representative of a nuclear family unit, and even portrayed what life was truly like. So back when your grandparents or your great-grandparents were alive, that they would sleep in separate beds. Okay, my grandparents slept in separate beds. And so even in TV shows, you would see them in separate beds. I don't know why they slept in separate beds. I think that's kind of weird, but they did. But I'm going to show you, let's look at this clip from Father Knows Best, just so you can get a picture of what television used to be like back in the 50s and 60s.
Ready, get some plates. Daddy, you sit there. Bud, pull up a chair. Get this one for Mommy.
There's nothing like hamburgers for Thanksgiving.
I'm starving.
So am I.
You know something? This is the happiest, unhappy Thanksgiving I've ever spent. Well, I feel I'd like to say thanks in a rather special way. Oh, Lord, we give thee thanks from the depths of our humble hearts for all the blessings thou hast seen fit to bestow upon us. We thank thee for the food which graces our table, the roof which covers our head. We thank thee for the privilege of living as free men in a country which respects our freedom and our personal rights to worship and think and speak as we choose. We thank thee for making us a family, for giving us sincerity and understanding. But most of all, dear Lord, we thank thee for giving us the greatest gift a family may know, the gift of love for one another. Amen.
So that is a far cry from what is on TV today, right? Can you guys think of any TV shows that you guys may watch that show prayer like that? So the one thing that I would say that was wrong with that show is that he didn't end the prayer with, "In Jesus' name I pray," right? But this is what TV was like back then. This is what people valued, and so television represented that. And it was, and a lot of it was about family. Most TV shows were about family. And so why do you think family's important? Anybody want to answer that question? Like, family is important back then because that was God's design, right? God values family. We go to Genesis 1 where it just says, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. So marriage and family is God's design. And television at the time was really representative of that. And that's what people wanted to see. That's what people valued. So we had shows with high moral value. And television at the time, like back when this was made, not everybody had a TV in their house, but it was growing fast. And people would actually watch TV together as a family. And so you still had all these social issues that I was talking about, but you also had what's called the Cold War. You guys know what the Cold War was? Yeah, so that's when America and the Soviet Union were always in fear that they were going to be in nuclear war with each other. And so there was actually a lot of fear in the American people, and television and movies was still a way for them to escape and not think about the fear that they had. So during this time, some of the other social tensions that I talked about was racism, right? That was huge. African Americans were being repressed left and right. It was really tough to be a single woman back then. If you were a single woman, more than likely you lived at home and you had a job as a secretary, and it was really difficult for them to make it on their own. And then lastly, one thing is homosexuality was still very taboo, and in many places it was illegal. So what we have now is the rise. This is where we're going to get into the meat, okay? You had the rise of the ACLU. That's the American Civil Liberties Union. And so this was an organization that was created in the 1920s really to defend the rights and liberties of people through litigation and lobbying. But the ACLU looked up and looked at all this repression and just said, man, we got to do something about this, right? There were women who just were being repressed and needed help. And so they had race, religion, sex, and sexual preference. So believe it or not, back in the mid-60s, the ACLU said, okay, we got to do something about this. And so this is going to sound evil, but it is a conspiracy in a way. But this is what they did. They charted out what they were going to do over decades of time as to how they were going to influence the American mind and change it with regards to family, religion, sexuality, all that stuff, even alcohol and drug use. And they, and I couldn't find this chart, but I've seen it before. They said, calculated, hey, here's where we're going to release these particular types of shows, and it's just going to introduce these topics into the homes in a very non-threatening way. And so what we're going to do now is we're going to start looking at some of those shows that redefined what TV was. So any of you guys ever heard of Gilligan's Island? Yeah. So Gilligan's Island was a show about people who are shipwrecked. And those two ladies down at the bottom, let's see, that's going to be your right. Almost every episode, they're in some revealing bikini that in the mid-60s was not a normal thing, right? But it was titillating, right? People loved watching that. In the 80s, where I grew up, we would make jokes about Ginger and Marianne. The next thing you have is you have the Dick Van Dyke Show, which this is a show still about a nuclear family unit, but Dick Van Dyke, who's the guy on your left, started being a little bit buffoonish, and his wife, who's played by Mary Tyler Moore on the right, started being a more strong, outspoken wife that would actually challenge him. Next, you've got a very, very groundbreaking show called Batgirl, and this was about an independent, unmarried woman trying to make it on her own in New York. And this show gave rise to probably the most provocative show for women's movement called Mary Tyler Moore. And so she's the one, if we got that in the pink in the middle. And so this show, she is a career woman. She is successful. She is strong. She doesn't need a man. And it was incredibly, incredibly popular. And so where we have Mary Tyler Moore, and so, so let me back up. We now have more shows that are not about the nuclear family unit, okay? There's really no family other than Dick Van Dyke, and it's actually starting to break down what that nuclear family looks like. And so now we're going to go to a show that redefines family and the male patriarch altogether called All in the Family. Who knows this show? All right, this show was centered around Archie Bunker, who is the old man in the middle, who is the male patriarch, but he is a bigot. He is a racist, he is a curmudgeon, and he is just a deplorable person. And so I'm going to show you guys a clip of what this show talked about, and this is representative of what this was every week on All in the Family. So watch this real quick.
Whoever it is bought Bowman's house must be doing pretty good if he can lay out $8, $10 a day for cleaning, woman.
$10? Oh, they're getting more than that for good cleaning people today. Maybe she's a live-in maid.
Well, what are you talking about, Edie? The only people nowadays can afford live-in help are rich people and Jews.
Not all Jewish people are rich.
I never knew one that wasn't.
The Steiners from our old neighborhood weren't. They didn't have as much as we did, even.
Yeah, to hear them tell it. Hey. You don't suppose Bowman sold his house to one of that tribe, do you? I mean, he was always a jerk, but he wouldn't do a thing like that to this neighborhood, would he?
Well, what I'm wondering is if a rich Jewish person could afford to hire a maid, why would he buy Jim Bowman's old house?
To make trouble, Edie. That's right. You know what's just crossing my mind? Remember old man McNabb?
Yeah.
Used to live down the street there. Uh-huh. Remember the time that he was going to sell his place to them Jews?
Oh.
And you come around with that petition to all the rest of us to sign. Remember, keep him out? We all signed it, huh?
Yeah.
You really saved the block that time, Jim.
Well, you know me.
So, I mean, you wouldn't then turn around and do what McNabb was trying to do, would you?
You mean sell to Jews?
Yeah.
Oh, no. These people are Baptists.
Mr. Bowman, I just talked with the telephone company, and they are putting my phone in today. Now, I really believe the house is mine. Oh, hi, neighbor.
Whoever it is bought Bowman's house must be doing pretty good if he can lay out.
Cut it. So can you believe that this show was actually on TV? Can you imagine with what racism and social tensions are now something like this being on TV. I mean, it's crazy when you think about it. But what I want you guys to understand what they were doing is that they were talking about these topics of bigotry, homosexuality, all this kind of stuff in a very disarming way. And comedy is always the best way to disarm people on social tensions. So the good things that this show did is that it exposed how crazy and terrible bigotry is, right, by Archie Bunker. You didn't like him, and so that's a good thing. But what they also did is that they broke down the male patriarch. They said that the male patriarch is now no longer somebody that can be respected. And so this show was pivotal in changing the definition of a nuclear family in TV. Okay? So, funny fact here, the creators of this show, they were all Jewish. The wife in the show, a lot of the actors were all Jewish. The writers were Jewish. And so let that be, like, understand what's happening there. The people who are being repressed and are struggling with this are actually making a show of making fun of it, right? So that was not by accident that Archie Bunker who he was. Okay, so now we've kind of broken down the nuclear family unit. Now we need to introduce stronger women, and we need to introduce sex, okay? So we're going to have what is called in the industry jiggle television, which is just a terrible name, but that's what it's called. So you've got a show, Charlie's Angels, which is about some beautiful women who are police officers that are seducing men and usually in scantily clad clothing. You got Wonder Woman, which this was a show that was just not a quality show, right? It was terrible, but everybody wanted to see Linda Carter in a skimpy Wonder Woman outfit, so people watched it. Then the most pivotal show that you have here during this time is a show called Three's Company. And to set up this show, at the time, Jack Tripper in the middle, he lived with two females. And this was just so risque at this time in the mid-70s. And the landlord would not allow a man to live with two women. So the way that he got into there is that he pretended like he was gay. But he wasn't gay. He was actually a womanizer in real life. But every time he got around the landlord, he was gay. So take a look at this clip.
Door. I mean, because, well, like, I go out with other guys.
You do.
Yeah, but you don't have to go anywhere where you might bump into some of your friends.
Oh, well, thank you.
This show is the first show to really introduce a homosexual character into television without the character actually being a homosexual. The show was hysterical. I watched it when I was a kid all the time and didn't really realize what was happening at the time, but it is very, very pivotal, and the ACLU targeted this show specifically because it introduced homosexuality into the home in a non-threatening way. So really, with the exception of Wonder Woman, these were all really high-quality shows. They had good actors. They had good writers. But when I say high-quality, I'm saying professionally, these were high-quality. But biblically, these were not high-quality shows. Okay, these shows specifically targeted the nuclear family unit. These shows specifically redefined what God's design for family is, right? If we look at Genesis 1, this is completely different. So to sum up where we are here, we've got the nuclear family that is no longer important. We've got more sexual endos and sex in TV. You've got homosexuality that is taboo, but shows like Three's Company was introducing it in a non-threatening way. And then this is really important, that women were represented as twofold, right? They were strong and independent, which is, you know, that's a good thing, but they are also the object of sexual desire. And unfortunately, that has not changed even in today's terms. Okay, so the ACLU has been pretty successful up now. Now it's time for them to put the pedal to the metal. So as we move into the 80s, we still have shows about the nuclear family unit, such as Family Ties, The Wonder Years, and Growing Pains, but we're gonna have more shows that's gonna redefine this nuclear family unit. So we've got shows like, next slide, please. We've got shows like Different Strokes, which was a single dad and adopted some inner city black kids. You got Silver Spoons, which is this kid who's been estranged from his father he's never met, and his dad and his mom were married for a week, so they're divorced. And then you have Who's the Boss, which is Tony Danza, an ex-baseball player turned housekeeper, okay, that is serving a divorced wife and her family. So just look at that for a minute. When we talked about what the nuclear family looked like, these shows are redefining what the nuclear family looks like. And so we also have a lot more shows that are not about family that are coming out of the 80s. One of them being Cheers. Anybody know what the show Cheers is? Okay, so this was an ensemble cast, which means a lot of people. This is one of the sitcoms where you really start identifying with the characters. But really, nobody's married in the show. They sit around, they talk about sex all the time, and it takes place in a bar. And so they're drinking all the time. And then in 1989 came a show called Seinfeld. Anybody seen Seinfeld? Okay, extremely, extremely popular show, which really changed what sitcoms were all about. This was a show that was about nothing, okay? Nobody was married. And if you were married in this show, and if you had kids, you were made fun of in this show. And there is a scene, there is an episode in this series that I think is so pivotal in terms of how it reshaped the American mind. Because right now, this show is the show that I would say, hey, culture is no longer defining media. This is a show where media starts defining culture. So watch this clip. Oh, let me set up this clip. Hold on. Set up this clip real quick. So Jerry Seinfeld and his friend George have been in this restaurant, and so they're talking. A girl is listening to their conversation, so Jerry and George pretend like they're gay. And so they have this conversation. What they didn't know is that this lady is a news reporter here to do a story on Jerry. So watch this clip.
Shall we start?
Fire away.
Okay, let's see. Are you just a comedian, or do you do anything else?
Well, right now, George and I are writing a pilot for NBC.
Oh, so you also work together?
Yeah.
Jerry, did you wash this pen?
Yeah, I washed it.
It looks like it hasn't been washed.
So wash it.
You hear the way he talks to me?
You should hear how my boyfriend talks to me.
What?
Hey, let me ask you something. What do you think of this shirt?
It's nice.
Jerry said he didn't like it.
I didn't say I didn't like it. I said it was okay.
Oh, you said you didn't like it.
Oh, well, so what if I don't like it? Is that like the end of the world or something?
So how did you two meet?
Oh, actually, we met in the gym locker room.
Yeah. Actually, it was in gym class. I was trying to climb the ropes, and Jerry was spotting me. And I kept slipping and burning my thighs. And then finally I slipped and I fell on Jerry's head. We've been close ever since.
Do you guys live together?
Live together?
No, I got my own place.
Oh. And do your parents know?
Know what?
My parents? They don't know what's going on.
Oh, God, you're that girl in the coffee shop that was eavesdropping on us. I knew you looked familiar.
Oh, no!
Oh.
No!
There's been a big misunderstanding here.
Yeah.
We did that whole thing for your benefit. We knew you were eavesdropping. That's why my friend said all that. It was on purpose. We're not gay. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No, of course not.
I mean, it's fine if that's who you are.
Absolutely.
I mean, I have many gay friends.
My father's gay.
Look, I...
Okay. So this show, what it was doing right then and there is, again, it's taking the topic of homosexuality, making it funny. But that whole thing where that episode repeatedly, people throughout that episode, they kept saying anytime they mentioned homosexuality, they'd always say, not that there's anything wrong with that. And that became part of the American language. Whenever me and my friends, whenever we are talking to somebody about something that may have been controversial, we'd always say, not that there's anything wrong with that. And so what this is also saying is that they're saying, hey, what's your truth is your truth. What's my truth is my truth. And man, that is where things start breaking down, is when we start saying that our own truth is our own truth and your truth is your truth. When we have to ask ourselves, hey, what is truth? We as Christians, where do we get our truth from? And we're going to talk a little bit more about that later. I mean, obviously, it's the Bible. But this was incredibly, incredibly pivotal moment. And so after that, more and more people have cable television and satellite. You have rise of new networks. You have rise of new shows. You got That 70 Show, which was high school kids in the basement talking about sex and doing drugs. You have Sex in the City, which that title speaks for itself. Then you have Ellen. That's Ellen DeGeneres. She had a sitcom. Did you guys know that she had a sitcom? So she was the very first person to have, it was the first show about an openly gay character. And it was a hit. People loved it. And again, they are introducing these topics in a comedic, non-threatening way. All right, so we're going to need to go real fast because we're short on time. But as we move into the... So in the 90s also, you had Friends, which Friends really pushed the limits of what was acceptable in TV. This totally made casual sex normal. It made the nuclear family just completely non-existent and talked about topics that at the time were really risque. And a lot of people weren't allowed to watch that show, right? I mean, our kids like to watch reruns all the time. Friends is one that we will not let them watch. But as you move into the 2000s, now we are definitely in an area where media is now defining culture. And so one article that I read of shows in from the 2000s, there were 57 shows that they rated as the top 57 shows. How many of those shows would you guys say was about the nuclear family? Well, zero's close. There's one. Friday Night Lights. Any of you guys watch Friday Night Lights? Yeah, fantastic show. Love it. But also, you had other shows like Gilmore Girls. Again, divorced woman and her child. You had Will and Grace, more openly gay characters. You have Everybody Loves Raymond, which was a very, very funny sitcom. But the dad was a buffoon, and mom was a lot stronger. The dad was scared of mom. And so, again, you're breaking it down. Then you had The Office, which The Office is pushing the limits of everything politically correct. Yeah, so you guys have, if you guys, who loves that show? I do too. Do you guys realize how many lies you're being told through The Office? It's incredible. Incredible. So when I think of probably, so the ACLU, again, they've been successful up to this point. Nuclear family's broken down. Sexuality is redefined. Race is redefined. And now you come to a show called Modern Family. Who knows Modern Family? Okay, this show to me, let me explain this real quick. On your left, you've got the nuclear family unit. Again, wife is stronger than dad. Dad's a buffoon. In the middle, you have the male patriarch that is divorced and married a much younger woman. On the right, you have a married gay couple with a child. And if I was to say that the ACLU is successful, this show is represented that the ACLU completed their mission. This show's funny. It is high quality show, but biblically, it is bad. It is going totally against what God's design for family is. It goes against totally what God's design for sexuality is. And so if we look at some of the shows that a lot of you guys are probably watching, Riverdale, which we talked about, 13 Reasons Why, like teenage suicide, are you kidding me? All American, which is kind of taking Friday Night Lights, flipping it upside down, then Pretty Little Liars. Who watches Pretty Little Liars? I mean, man, I had a hard time getting through one episode of that show. I really did. Because it is about deceit, about murder, about sex, about same-sex relationships. I mean, there are shows that are even worse. And so a lot of you guys may be thinking, man, this isn't really that big of a deal. I've seen some of these shows. I've seen shows that are worse. And the reason why it's not a big deal for a lot of you guys, because the way that you've grown up, shows have just changed. And you've been conditioned to accept culture and reality based on what's on TV. And you're doing it without even knowing it. So we talked a lot about family and sex. What about violence, right? Out of the top 25 shows of the most violent in history, all of them are post-2000. Okay, and when I look at some of these shows, like there's the first time I've seen some of these shows, and I'll kind of cringe a little bit at the violence, going, "Oh man, that's bad." But if I keep watching the shows a couple episodes, I start becoming immune to it. So anybody seen The Walking Dead? Yeah. Right? I mean, I remember the first couple episodes. I'm like, they're hitting zombies in the head, and blood's going everywhere. I'm like, oh gosh. You know, you fast forward 5 episodes, I'm like, well, why don't they just chop the zombie's head off? Why don't they just hit him with the axe? You know? And so I myself am schooled in this, was schooled in this professionally and educationally, and it's even affecting me. So I want to give you one quick summation of statistics. So you've seen a lot of history of television here. I'm going to pick one topic, which is going to be homosexual characters. So both in the 1970s and 80s, there were 11 gay characters, both decades on TV. In the 90s, there were 28. In 2000, there were 44. In 2010, whopping 98 homosexual characters on TV. In 2010 to 2019, there are 418 homosexual characters on TV. These are shows that you guys are watching, right? Glee, The Office, Parks and Recreation, High School Musical on Disney Plus, Riverdale, all of these shows. And it's just normal. It is now normal part of television. So what do we do about this? In order to spot things that are not true, we have to know the truth, right? And so where do we get truth? I mean, truth is God's word. And God's word is the same today as it was back then. And I'm going to confess something to you guys. When I was your age, I used to think that the Bible was outdated and no longer relevant. And it's because I didn't know it. But when I study God's word, the more I study it, the more I see that it is just as relevant today as it was then. And so we talked, like, God's word, 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, training, and correcting in righteousness. Okay? It is rich, and it is God's message to us. So you have to decide, hey, is God's word true or not? Psalm 119, just these are some of the things that I want you guys to think about when you're watching these shows. Psalm 119:9, which is, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. So read all of Psalm 119, but that one in particular is good about, hey, we got to guard our heart with truth. And so when we look at this, like, some of these shows are fun, right? I like some of these shows too. But I have to ask myself, like, if I'm going to follow God and what he says, if I'm having fun with those shows, is God trying to rob me of joy? Right? Absolutely not. Just to kind of let you guys know a little bit about me, like, I have not lived a righteous life, okay? The sin in my life would rival anybody's. And so here I am, kind of on the other side of my own sin. There are things that I've done, there's things that I've seen that are just tattooed on my brain that just caused a lot of issues in my life. But now I'm on the other side of it, okay? And I'm telling you, on this side of following the Lord, it is so much better than what it was when I was doing what I wanted to do. And God's not trying to harm you. He's trying to bless you. I mean, we can look through Deuteronomy 5 and 6 just over and over again where God says, hey, therefore you shall keep his statutes and his commandments, which I command you to this day, so that it may go well for you. Deuteronomy 5:33, you shall walk in all the ways which the Lord has commanded you, that you may live and that it may go well with you. Pay attention, Israel, and be careful to do this so that it may go well with you. And you shall do what is right in the sight of the Lord so that it may go well for you. Right? Be careful to obey all of these commandments that I've given you, that it may go well for you. Like, God tells us over and over and over again that if you follow me, it will go well for you. Even Jesus in John 10:10 is saying, hey, I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. And that abundant life is now. It's not when we die. It is right now that we can experience that abundant life that he has for us. So we got to believe in the goodness of God. We got to be obedient to what he says. And so some of the scriptures that really have changed me, just Psalm 119:37 just says, turn my eyes from worthless things and give me life in your ways. Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life. You know, Matthew 6:22, 23, like, Jesus says specifically, hey, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be filled with darkness. And so, guys, if you don't know light, if you don't know truth, man, you're going to be filled with that darkness. And I'm going to tell you, like, if you guys are watching these shows and they look like no big deal to you, you can't spot the lie. And if you can't spot the lie, my encouragement to you guys is just stop watching those shows. Get in God's word. Know what truth is. I mean, there are shows that, you know, we'll sit there and watch with our daughters, and I'll pause it and I'll say, hey, tell me what you're being told right here. Spot the lie. What are you seeing that goes against scripture? What do you see? What are they trying to tell you? Because I want them to look at this stuff with a critical eye. I want you guys to look at this stuff with a critical eye. Honestly, I want you guys in this room to experience life very differently than I did. because I'm 40, almost 45 years old now, and I look at the opportunity that you guys have to walk with Jesus for a really, really long time, where I didn't. And man, I experienced the fruit of it now, but I really wish that I would have experienced the fruit that you guys had. And so some of you guys may be frustrated, right? Your parents may not allow you to watch some of these shows. And man, way to go. Like, I'm proud of your parents that they love you enough to protect you. So be grateful that your parents are saying, hey, we want you to fill your heart with things that are good, things that are godly. You know, I remember when I was watching The Walking Dead, and I didn't really think much of it, and my wife walked in through the room, and something really horrible was happening on the TV, and she looked at it, and she turned around and looked at me, and she didn't look at me with any judgment. She didn't look at me with any disdain or anything like that. She just quoted Philippians 4, 8, and 9, which is, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, if there's whatever is commendable, if there's anything that is excellent, anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And so it just changed me of what I'm going to watch now. I go, you know what? You're right. I need to be filling my eyes. I need to be filling my heart with things that are going to fill me up, that's going to just make me want to follow God more. So I want to leave you guys with one thing, and then we're going to get out of here because I know I'm over time. But if you're 14 or over, I want you guys to talk to your parents about something, that if you really want to know what's going on in culture, if you want to know the worldview and the biblical view, I want you guys to add a podcast called The Briefing, which is Albert Mohler. And he is taking topics of the day. I think we got a slide of that. But he's taking these topics of today, and he runs them through the worldview. He runs them through the biblical worldview, and he tells us, like, hey, watch out for this stuff. And we as Christians, how do we respond? How do we act? How do we react to them? And talk to your parents before you put this on your podcast, okay? But it is excellent and a great way for you guys to equip yourselves. So I'm going to pray for y'all real quick. Thank y'all for being patient. But let me pray for you guys real quick and we'll get out of here. Father, I thank you for everybody in this room. And Lord, I just pray that all of their hearts would be running hard after you, that if there's anybody in here that may be far from you or questioning you or whatever, that you would wreck them and that your spirit would draw them close. And that, Lord, if they are watching these shows and they can't spot the lie, that you would put truth on their hearts so that they can follow you all the days of their life. In Christ's name, amen.